And you may be seated, and thank you all for being here this morning. And we're honored to be in the house of our Father in heaven today, and we're certainly glad that all of you have made the effort to be here to worship and serve our God. You know, that's a beautiful song, isn't it? When we all get to heaven, and would to God that we would all get there. We know that all people will not be there, but the saved will be there, the children of God will be there, and for that we are in awe and truly thankful this morning that we can sing about it with great confidence in our God. I want to ask you a question this morning, and maybe it's a little forward to ask this question, but have you heard from God lately? You know, a lot of people say, well, does God really speak to us today? And I believe that God does, and I'm going to tell you how in just a moment. But I'm going to do a sequel to this tonight entitled, How Do I Know the Voice of God? How do I know that it is the voice of God, not the voice of Satan, or perhaps me thinking about something in my own mind? In the book of Isaiah 30 and verse 19, Isaiah penned these words for all of the Israelites to read and hear for generations that were yet to come. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more, for he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Well now, does God really speak to us? I believe that God speaks to us in our heart. I think that we can hear the voice of God within our heart. And I'm going to tell you about that a little bit later in the lesson this morning. But the question I ask you, and you may not really fully comprehend where I'm going with this, but the question is God really speaking? And I suppose probably the more defined and perhaps important aspect of that is, are you listening? Are you listening to God as he speaks unto us? Or have you heard from God lately? And if you did, what did he say? Maybe we'd like to feel that we heard the voice of God, and we'd like to cry out and say, well, God, what are you saying to us? What is it you're trying to get across to me? God speaks to those who will take time to listen, and he listens to those who will take time to pray unto him. You know, in the Old Testament, one of the great vivid scenes, I think, of God actually speaking took place in the house of Eli, who was a great judge and a great servant of Almighty God. You remember Hannah, who had a young son by the name of Samuel, and she said, God, if you give me a man-child from the Lord, I'll loan him to you all the days of his life. And at the age of 12, she took him, along with Manoah, up into the house of Eli. And one night, God spoke unto this young boy. He thought it was Eli or someone else. And Eli said, when he speaks again, say unto him, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Command, and I will obey. Sometimes I wonder how we might react if we were hearing from God. You know, you can't really get away from God. You can't. He's present with us now in this assembly. We know that he is. He's promised to be with us. The Lord Jesus has promised to be with us. Matthew chapter 18, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He is always with us. But listen to the words of Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8. Whither, David said, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I go from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. Or if I make my bed in hell, and that word hell there is translated grave, behold, thou art there. And then in Psalms 24, Following that more pronounced and more familiar Psalm 23, David again writes in verse 3 through 5, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and had lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." I believe that God does speak to us today, but he speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us in our heart. I don't think that we hear a thundering voice of God today, nor do I think he speaks in a still, small voice like he did in the Old Testament. And there are cases in the Old Testament where God did that. Now, when God speaks to our heart, it is for one of four reasons. Now, let me state this before we get into this aspect of it. I want you to remember the word of God. David said, "Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We have to make sure that we know the word of God, and God will speak to our hearts. That is, when we are faced with decisions in life, I believe that God will put it in your heart and in your mind how you are to respond to whatever that situation may be. You may be going through marital trials. You may be going through financial trials. You may be going through grief. You may be those who listen to the sound of my voice. You may have coronavirus, and you may have a lot of questions right now about what God is going to do and whether or not you may live. We're told that one dies every 30 seconds in America from coronavirus. But people often ask the question, is God alive, and will he really speak to my heart? I think he does, and I think he does it for one of four reasons. Sometimes God speaks to our heart. You ever get that prodding from God where you feel like the Lord really is speaking to you? I get it all the time when I feel like God is speaking to my heart. He's putting it into my mind what I ought to do. Let me tell you how that works. You pray unto God about certain things, and you ask God to do certain things, and then you wonder whether or not he's going to do it. If you pray, for instance, about a better relationship with someone, then I think God puts it in your heart to tell you how you can have that better relationship based upon his word. I don't think God's going to tell you to do anything beyond his word, or that is in conflict with the word of God. Sometimes people raise questions about various things. Should I change jobs, or is this job okay? Is this where I need to be? Or what do I need to change occupations? Whatever it happens to be. And you say, well, you know, how am I going to know when God answers me? I think God will put it in your heart what you ought to do, and you will act upon it. You will either go against your conscience, you will either go against what God has put into your heart, or you will accept it. But I definitely believe in answered prayer. How would you know if God answered your prayer beyond that? How would you know that God has responded to the request that you made? Now, I do believe he speaks to us through the word to get us to change the path that we are on. There are numerous times in the Bible when God actually did that. Remember to Saul on the road to Damascus? We talked about it this morning in our Bible class, but how true it is. Saul was on the wrong road spiritually. He may have been on the right road, physically speaking. He was going from Jerusalem to Damascus, and that may have been the right road, all right. And I guess in one way it was, because that's where God spoke to him. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." And he said, "What do you want me to do?" And he said, "I want you to go into Jerusalem, and or rather in Damascus, and there will be told thee of all things that are appointed for thee to do." Now, I'm not saying that God speaks to us in that same way, but I think he speaks to us through the word. And that's why David said, "Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." But too often we get on the wrong road. We get on the wrong path. And what happens, we have to repent. We have to turn around. Redirection of life, redirection of our emotions, redirection of our behavior. That's what repentance is all about. It's redirecting to meet God at what He tells us to do. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, the Bible says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. Verse 24 says, I know, Lord God, that the road on which I'm walking does not belong to me, and that I cannot be my own guide. Keep me on track, Lord, but be gentle. Your anger would destroy me. Now, you see, this man communicating unto God, recognizing that he has been on the wrong path, and he's saying, God, keep me. Keep me on track. You know what? We ought to pray that every day. God, keep me on the right track. Help me to know where I am, and help me to know my end. Isaiah 30, 19 through 21, for the people shall dwell in Zion and in Jerusalem, and thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee, at the voice of thy cry. God listens to us. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. How do you know that he will answer you? He answers us by giving us opportunities. He does. He answers us by blessing us through other people. When we're having financial problems, God blesses us through other people. God doesn't just pour out the heavens and drop down American currency. He doesn't do that. But he does it in his own way. He blesses us. And you know what? I don't know of anybody that doesn't need spiritual direction. I really don't. You know, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. We all make mistakes, as we say. We all err. And so we need the direction of God to help us get back up on the straight and the narrow. When Simon sinned in the book of Acts chapter 8, the Bible tells us, God's servant said unto him, repent and pray God that the fault of thy heart might be forgiven thee. There are times when we need to pray and ask God to give us direction. There is a big difference between who you are and who you want to be. You know, many of us go through life with this issue. Who we are and who we want to be, and then what you do. Too many times we pray to God for certain things, and we never put ourselves in a position to receive it. A story I heard one time several years ago about a drought that they had had out in West Texas. And the preacher had got up and he had prayed about it many, many times. He said, God, please send us rain. Our grounds are parched. Our crops are gone. We need rain in a terrible, terrible way. God, please bless us. Please bless your land with rain. And that next Sunday morning, the preacher got up and he asked the brethren, he said, brethren, how many of you believe in that prayer I prayed for rain? They all raised their hand. And he says, no, you don't. You're lying. He said, where are your umbrellas? Nobody brought an umbrella to shelter from the rain. You know, when we say, God, help me to be more faithful, and we don't make an effort to be more faithful, do you believe God's answered your prayer? I believe God responds as we respond to Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. We talk to Him in our times of disappointment. We all have disappointments, don't we? Every one of us. I don't know of anybody that hasn't been disappointed in life. But every time we go through a disappointment, it just might be God saying unto us, now, think about it. I have something better. You know, we're limited in our mind by what we even ask for. We ask for certain things. And you know, instead of God giving it to us, he might be saying, I have something better I'm going to give you. I've seen that happen in my own life, and I'm sure that you have as well. Disappointments are God's way of saying something better. He always has something better. Now, sometimes God speaks to us, secondly, to redirect our activities. You know, we all have activities that we are involved in day by day, whether it's at the job or whether it's pleasure, or you may be a member of some kind of civic organization or whatever it may happen to be. God is saying unto us to redirect your activities. You're too busy in that civic club. You need to be giving more time unto God. Or you're too busy down at the job. How much time are you giving unto the Lord and unto your family? What are you doing in the kingdom of God? If we are servants, folks, we ought to be serving. And yet too many of us are so busy and preoccupied with simply activities or things that we want to do. Every one of us has a clock, and how we spend our time really determines what is important to us. It might be well for us, and I'm not advocating that everybody do this, but I think I've done it before, and I think sometimes it might be well for you to do it, is just simply sit down, maybe keep a log 1 week of what you do and how much you do for God. Now, I'm not talking about coming to worship. You may come to worship. That's worship. We're not really serving. Serving, the kind of serving I'm talking about is outside, away from the confines of the building. You're talking to your neighbor about Jesus. You're giving the sick a call. You may not be able to go see them, nor can I. But I can send cards, and I do send cards. Call someone up who's lost a loved one. We've been announcing this morning about those who have lost loved ones. It might be well to send them a card and say, I share your grief. I know what you're going through. I have been there. Instead of blowing it off. And nothing will impress you more than when you have lost a loved one or you have been sick, that you are on the receiving end. And if you have been on the receiving end, you ought to be on the giving end. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And God may be trying to get your attention right now to get you to redirect your activities in life and change your priorities. It is amazing to me what becomes so important to people. You know, sometimes people have their priorities out of perspective. But priorities actually govern our life. What you do in life will be governed by what you think should be number one, or what you think should be number two, or number three. And the question I have to ask you this morning is, how does God feel about your priorities right now? Are you putting Him first? The book of Matthew 6 says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are you doing that? People that don't show up to worship are not doing it. You know, the Jews in Old Testament times honored the Sabbath day. It wasn't as much going down to the synagogue as it was actually observing the Sabbath as God had commanded it. It was a day of rest, and it was a day that they honored God, and it was a way they served Him and just simply doing what He said. And sometimes we need a little direction in life, don't we? Do you realize that when this life is over, that all that we might have accumulated in our life here in this world will be for naught? Let me remind you of something. Money is temporary. Your house is temporary. The car that you drive, the one that brought you this morning to this house of worship, is temporary. But God is eternal. He is eternal. And He may be speaking to you this morning through this sermon to get you to redirect your activities. You know what I pray every week? I say, God, help me determine what I ought to speak on next Sunday. I tell Laura Lee that at the beginning of every week, and I say, Laura Lee, I've been trying to ponder and give a lot of thought to what lesson I need to bring next Sunday. And I pray about it, and I pray about it, and I think that God does put it in my heart what needs to be said. We need to ask ourselves this one question. Is it God's will, or is it my agenda? Is it my agenda? We need to make God our first priority and not our last resort. And too many times people do that when it comes to coming to the house of worship. It happens when you give. What's more important to you on a Sunday night? I'm going to tell you something. Whether you put God first, you show up tonight, will you be here? Or have you already made your mind up you're not going to be here? That's putting it in priority. If Jesus is here with the saints, that's where I want to be. Seek the kingdom of God first. You may not like what I'm telling you, but I'm telling you what God told me to tell you. Put God first and you'll never be last. You know what it's like to be last? You ever played softball? Been chosen last? How do you think God feels when you put Him last? The Bible says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and all your plans will succeed. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. But number 3. Sometimes God speaks to us to rebuke us. You know, we're told that even in sermons and even in the Word of God, it was to be used to reprove, to rebuke, and to exhort. God has His own way of rebuking us. And true Christians rebuke sin and they expose it. False Christians practice sin and they defend it. And James said in the book of James 4 and 4 that a friend of the world is an enemy with God. But God has a way of rebuking us. And we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by the God of heaven. You know, we all have schedules. But sometimes we have to redirect that schedule and say, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I don't think there's anybody can walk out of here and say, you know, I don't believe what he says. Because if you do, you're saying, I don't believe what God says. I don't believe you could walk out here and say, well, he made me mad this morning. Because you know what? Who made you mad? You made yourself mad because you know maybe you're not fulfilling what God's asked you to do. And you're angry. God does rebuke us. He said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. That's what God says about it. Repent, change. Evidence of a person's relationship with God is based upon change. When you know you're not doing right, based upon change. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, exhort, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. But then last of all, sometimes God speaks to our heart to reiterate His love for us. God's not a harsh God. When He rebukes you, He rebukes you because He loves you. When I preach sermons up here that may cut you to the heart, I do it out of love because I want you to go to heaven. I want you to be saved. It's not to intimidate you or berate you or belittle you. No more than God does. For John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have life everlasting." God so loved the world that He gave His only Son to die on a cross. And in our ever-changing world, and it's changing, it's reassuring to know that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, the Hebrew writer said. Nothing more profound from the pen of John than these words: God is love. And whosoever does not love does not know God. Because the heart of God is the heart of love. 1 John 4 and verse 8. God says, "Call upon me and I will answer thee." Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Have you heard from God lately? Have you? Isaiah 30 says, "For the people shall dwell in Zion, and thou shalt weep no more again," he says. "He will be gracious unto thee, to your voice, to the cry. He'll hear it, and He will answer you." A man one time in Australia was arrested and charged with stealing sheep. One sheep. But he claimed emphatically that he had not done it. And that the sheep strayed away out of the pasture on its own. And had been missing for many days. That's what he told the judge. But the judge was puzzled, not knowing how to decide this particular case. In a few moments, he asked that the sheep be brought to the courtroom. Then he ordered the plaintiff to stop outside and call the animal. The sheep made no response except to raise its head and look as though it was frightened. The judge then instructed the defendant to go to the courtyard and call the sheep. When the accused man began to make his distinctive call, the sheep bounded to the door. It was obvious that he recognized the familiar voice of his master. Didn't Jesus say in John 15 that his sheep know him and the shepherd knows his sheep? We call out to God. He knows our voice. And when He speaks to us and to our heart, we know His voice. Call to me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's what God says. Many need to call upon God today to be baptized into Christ for the removal of sin stains, Romans chapter 6. And others need to come to God to be restored. Maybe you're like that sheep that hears the voice of God calling you this morning. And you need to respond to His voice for prayer and forgiveness as we stand and as we sing.